do side four. I have to correct tape two, side three. This is the previous side. Okay. Now, Dr. Marcus, please go on. You said you wanted to tell us something special.
I to tell you a little incident, because last time we talked a good bit about, I guess about anti-Semitism, you would say, and about how I was always running to the rabbi to complain. So after I had been accepted at Shadyside Hospital, it was in April, and the holidays came up in September, and I asked the head nurse if I could have the 2 days off of Rosh Hashanah. And she says, well, certainly not. This is a hospital. So I went to Rabbi Ashinsky again, and I told him, and he looked at me, and he said, how could you be better occupied than taking care of the sick? So go back and tend to your business. I wanted to tell you later.
Good for him.
I can't believe
that's very modern. But it says so in the Bible. You can tend to that work is God's work.
Well, that may or may not have been the case, Debbie.
Yeah, well,
he may not have wanted to contend with the hospital, and it was easier just to say you were.
No, I don't think so.
You think he really believed that?
He believed it.
Orthodox.
Yes, but he believed that. Mm-hmm.
So you went back to the hospital?
I went back in training and finished it.
Do you have any other wonderful stories to tell about
the
your...
only one I thought your, of that I wanted to tell.
That's nice. That's very nice. Do you have stories to tell us about the Jewish community growing up? Yeah.
Well, when I was a child, we were raised in Bloomfield, Lawrenceville, and the neighborhood was very anti-Semitic. And when we didn't come to school on the holiday, they sent the truant officer.
Oh, really?
And that's the way we lived. A neighbor said to my mother one day, our minister, he preached a sermon that even you would understand. So that tells the story. But my brother and I, well, my brother had difficulty because when a peddler would come up the street, the boys would stone him, and my brother would go out and fight them all. So it was a great, it was a great anti-Semitic place. But after
what area was that?
39th Street. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes called Lawrenceville, sometimes called Bloomfield. And my brother and I made friends in the neighborhood.
Did you have Jewish friends at other
parts of the
city? We had
Jewish friends on the hill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Family friends?
We had friends. I joined Hadassah. In fact, I was one of the charter members of Hadassah.
Really?
And the first national vice president of Hadassah.
Wow.
So I had Jewish friends. And
Lawrenceville couldn't have had too much of a Jewish community.
Well, there was one other family in our neighborhood, and the name was Myers, and they once had the child was burned in front of an open fire, and she later worked at Monifer for many years at night. She'd had plastic surgery, but she had difficulties.
Okay, let's go. I mean, if you remember wonderful vignettes of earlier, we want them all. But let's continue. What happened to you after your disc, and then you helped recommend neighborhood clinics? What did you do after that?
And then, let me see, I had already started in Northview.
This should be around 1970, I would think. Maybe you retired?
Oh, no. St. Francis Hospital, the nun and I were very friendly. And she said, we need somebody in the mental health department to write the prescriptions for the social workers. So I went there to work, supposedly for a month or two, and I stayed 10 years. And then...
And what was your work there at St. Francis?
At St. Francis in the mental health department.
Oh.
And then we moved to this, the other side of town, and someone said, why do you want to travel to St. Francis when you're near Woodville? Mm-hmm. So I told St. Francis, and they said, sure, they're right. So I started to work in the mental health department at Woodville.
Now, when you were, you say you were in the mental health department, and that this Gail asked you if you would write prescriptions. Was that the limit of your work there?
That's what they said. But when I got there, I met a psychiatrist, an analyst, who was a very fine man and befriended me. And he said, Florence, that's crap. You don't want to do that.
Right.
He said, so I'll supervise you. And I ended up having a caseload of 120.
Ah, so you were really a therapist.
I was really a therapist. Mm-hmm. Wow. A good one or a bad one, but I was a therapist.
And then you were you also a therapist at Woodville? Do you have any relation?
Was it with children you were a therapist or with adults?
Adults.
Oh, only adults. Because you knew children so well, I wondered.
Yes, but I didn't have an opportunity to work with children.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any? I was going to say relationship. Well, it's a good word, with Dr. Tversky.
Oh, my, yes.
You have any stories to tell us about him?
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
The first time I met him, he was running from the garage in a windy day with his pants flying.
Right.
And he was such a good teacher. And we used to have seminars with him. And yes, we worked with him a lot. One time I said something to him about, what do you do in a case like that? You know, I seemed as though it's never going to end. And he said, if I knew, I'd tell you, but I don't know. Yeah.
So you really did your caseload without formal training. But you did it, but you had enough background.
Well,
obviously.
They seemed to be pleased, and they always sent me the cases that nobody else could get along.
Good. Dr. Tversky, how did you come in contact?
Well, he was head of the mental health at St. Francis.
Oh, at St. Francis. I see.
Well, he is also a very innovative person.
Oh, yeah.
So you really met great people.
Yeah, well, I did.
That's fantastic.
That's a great part of my life. I met such wonderful
people. Yes, you did.
Wonderful people.
And I'm sure you met people whose names we don't know who were equally great.
Yeah.
Did he ever act as a supervisor for you, Dr. Tversky?
Well, he was the supervisor of the whole group.
Uh-huh. Did you have individual conferences
Yes,
with him?
Yes, he would hear cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That must have been interesting for you.
That was very interesting.
Right.
And then there was the psychologist there was Dr. Nara, who's still practicing in East Liberty. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of.
Do you know how Nara spells? Is it a he?
N-A-R-R.
Is it a he?
Yes.
Oh.
Ray. R-A-Y.
Ray. I thought I had heard his name before. That's what
I was thinking. After Woodville, how long were you there? How long were you at Woodville?
I was going to say until my death.
Until your retirement? Or was there a retirement?
87.
87. Full time?
Half time.
Half time. What'd you do the other half?
Came home and rested.
Right.
Read. Listen to
music. How did you function at Woodville? As a medical doctor or as a
Yes, it was a psychiatrist. There was Tversky, and then there was a psychiatrist under him. Mm-hmm. And then there were other psychiatrists working there. And we would have seminars together and talk about cases.
But your work at Woodville was as a physician, not as a therapist.
It was as a physician, but I was a therapist.
Both.
Mm-hmm. I was a therapist.
Now, Dr. Marcus, it sounds so busy. Did you have time for vacations?
No, I never was much of a vacationer. Mm-hmm. When I took a vacation, it was always to study something. I would go to, I'm trying to think.
Courses, huh?
I went to different places, you know. To New Orleans. I went down to New Orleans for 6 weeks to have a special course in obstetrics and OB at one time. And I went to up to Michigan to Kellogg's place to see what they did there. Mm-hmm. I always went to places where I could learn something new, whether mm-hmm. I used it or not. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't much for, well, then when my brother and sister-in-law moved out to California, I went to California every 2 years to visit there.
You haven't talked much about them.
About them.
About your brother and your sister-in-law. You did mention that your brother had a business in the Strip, I believe, a grocery
business. Yeah, but he was later an invalid with asthma.
I see.
And my sister-in-law was a wonderful person. She just passed away this past year. For my 90th birthday, my sister-in-law played the piano and the organ very well, and her children are all musicians. So for my 90th birthday, the boys and my sister-in-law flew up to sing happy birthday to me.
How nice.
How many children does she have?
She had one son, mm-hmm. and like the rest of the family, three grandsons, and now three great-grandsons.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And we know, but it's not on the tape, about your sister's children. That's not on the tape. We talked about that afterwards.
Yes.
Well, now, your sister has
two children. My sister has a son in New York who's not married, and then she has Barbara here, and Barbara has two children, Chuck and, I get the generations mixed up.
It's Chuck. There are three children, Chuck uh-huh. and John.
And Joey.
And Joey, because I know them.
A lady said to David today, that's the father of the boy, says, "Are you the one in the little red car?" He says, "Thank you very much, that's my baby son."
So they're only boys in the family?
Yes.
No girls?
Only by marriage.
Not yet,
Chuck's married.
And he has three boys also?
And he has three boys.
Isn't that something? And what are they doing? Chuck?
Chuck is an attorney.
Okay, he's the one who's married.
At 30, became a member of his firm. And he's very prominent and very good. And he's one of his claims to fame, I can tell you, mm-hmm. is that he is the attorney to Lemieux for real estate.
Wow.
He's not his agent, but he's mm-hmm. but his agent, the Riches, are all friends of Barbara's. They all grew up together, the kids. And
John
thinks he's going to be a bandmaster, so he's out in Los Angeles fiddling. But
he's a musician.
He's a drummer. Isn't he a drummer? Right. He used to be a drummer, but I know. Yeah.
But he also has a job. And I think what's interesting is his father's in a very lucrative insurance business, and he could come home and go into business. But he works for an insurance company.
Oh, really? Isn't that funny?
In some mediocre job, but enough to keep him.
And how about Joey?
Joey is just received his master's in psychology, mm-hmm. and he's working on his doctorate.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Is he here?
He's in California. I've been.
Mm-hmm.
Northern California.
That's very good.
Oh, they're great. They're great kids.
Yes.
And Chuck, with the three boys, he was here with the three kids. And the oldest one just started to first grade.
Oh my God!
And he goes to the same school that his mother and father went when they were kids.
Oh man!
And he's standing here, and I said, "What'd you do the first day?" He said, "Library." What did you do the second day? Said mathematics.
Wow.
He's really moving along.
Yeah, he's moving along. And he's a great hockey player. I mean a real hockey player. He is only 6 years old, and he's on a team. And he can really beat them all.
Good for him.
Okay, Dr. Marcus, we're going to stop talking about your nieces and nephews. We're going to talk about you some more. Tell us about some honors that you received. Some of your honors.
My honors?
Uh-huh.
Well, I received the Distinguished Daughters of Pennsylvania.
Do you remember what year?
58. And, a Distinguished Daughter of the Year in the Business and Professional Club. And
is that a professional organization?
Business Women's Club.
Ah. And you were a Distinguished Daughter for them?
Yeah.
Now there's something about the first 100 women physicians?
Oh, they're just working on that.
Oh, they're just working on that. You don't have that yet?
No, we don't.
Okay, but it's a possibility.
Yes, they're working on that.
Did you do any teaching at all?
Teaching? Yeah, I taught some at the public health
school. Here, in Pittsburgh?
Yes. And I've taught nurses at Pitt, at Duquesne, and what's that? I taught at all the schools, Carlo and all of them.
You did?
Yes.
You taught the nurses at all these places?
Nurses and social workers.
Mm-hmm. With the social workers, what were you teaching?
Medical things at Margaret Morrison.
That was at Carnegie Mellon. Margaret
Yeah,
Morrison.
Well, that was Carnegie Mellon.
It wasn't
later.
Called that then. Yeah.
No, it was Margaret Morrison.
At that time.
Yes, and by the way, they're redoing the front of Margaret Morrison.
I heard they were.
Yes, it looks lovely so far.
Did you go to Margaret Morrison?
No, that was before my time. I went to Pitt. But I heard of many people who went to Margaret Morrison. You would know Nancy Frank.
Yes, yes.
Do you? Well, Nancy.
Oh, yes, I know Nancy.
Good. And she was one of the social workers you may have taught.
Yes, she was.
Did you do any writing?
No, unfortunately, I'm not a good writer, mm-hmm. and I didn't do much writing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to tell us?
I can't think of anything.
Do you have anything else to ask?
No, but I think I'd like to, next time, we want to come again. Because I'd like to hear a little bit more of your associations with these people who have become so prominent. I mean, at the time you were with them, you probably didn't think of them as becoming prominent. But they have, and it's nice to know a little bit about, a little more depth of what they were like in your relationship with them.
And I think I have a little pack of pictures or something
really?
That I'll just hand you and you can look at them yourself.
Good. Very good.
That would be lovely.
Good. Pictures with these people that you worked with.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what they are. I just have them in the file and I took them out. Thought you might be interested.
Was your mother living when you became so active at the arsenal?
My mother was living. My father died a few months before I got my license to practice medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother lived on until she was, God bless her, 83.
Do you remember where you were in your development as a doctor when she died?
Oh, I was a full-blown.
You were full-blown.
I was full-blown. I have to tell you a funny little story about my mother and Dr. Spock. My mother was bedfast some of her late years, and I used to have the students over every 6 weeks. I'd have that group over for a beer and pretzels. And so Dr. Schuster, I don't know whether any of you know
him. Yes, Eugene Schuster.
Yeah, Eugene was the first one to come to the party that night. Mm-hmm. And I took him in my mother's room and said, Gene, I want you to meet my mother. And so Spock was the first one to come. And I said, I want you to come in and meet my mother. So I came in and introduced him to my mother. And Spock says, I'm so tired. And there were double beds in the room, so he laid down on the other bed. Then Schuster came along, and I said, I want you to meet my mother. So I take him in, and I said, this is Jean Schuster, Mom. And we went out, and he says, why didn't you introduce me to your father?
That was
Dr. Spock. And so the group used to come together and they used to have a nice evening. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just talk politics and sometimes talk other things. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's really nice. I wonder if people still do that. Do they?
But people still remember. It's amazing.
Where were you living at that time?
We were living at, where was I living? In the Ambassador Apartments on Center Avenue. Mm-hmm. My mother and I were living there.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you would have your little parties.
Where I have the group.
When did you move from Bloomfield to? Did you move from Bloomfield to there?
We moved.
Or did you live some
other
place? We
moved from Bloomfield. Well, let's see. My mother and I lived with Chuck and Della's husband.
Okay.
And my mother and I, we lived with together mm-hmm. on Shady Avenue. Mm-hmm. And then we broke up later, and my mother and I went to live at the Ambassador, and Barbara and David moved first to a little place on Forbes Street called, I don't know, it was Gardens or something. It was a little place. Because David, was it David? Yes. He thought he had to go to the service. Mm-hmm. But when David was examined for the Navy, he wasn't eligible. So then after that, they went their way in living, and we went our way. They lived on Northumberland Street. Mm-hmm.
Now, you lived with your sister and brother-in-law and mother for a while?
Yes.
I see. And then they went. Did they have children at
that
time?
Yeah, they had the two kids.
I see. So it was really a whole family home.
Yes.
What was Della's husband's name?
Della's husband?
Yeah.
Charles.
Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, he was a dentist on the south side.
See, we never asked that. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. But he died quite young.
Yes, he went to the office one night, and he came home and said he was tired, and he died.
Oh.
Just promptly, like that.
So she had little children.
She had the two children, 12 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
So she raised Barbara and Abby. Very nice, very nice people.
Oh, they sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And her son is in the wholesale book business.
Mm-hmm. And he never married.
He never married.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for Princeton Press for 20 years. And when he left Princeton, I have an album of the most beautiful letters from publishers all over the country, McGraw-Hill and all those. He was very well thought of. And then he had already opened his own business. The director of Princeton had given him permission to open his own business on the side. So he had already opened his own business, and it was 10 years old at the time that he left Princeton, and over 20. It was a very big...
What does he do in publishing?
He sells remainder items, if you know what I mean. If a company maybe has 2,000 copies of a book they haven't sold, he takes them on consignment and sells them.
I see.
And he gets about 6 catalogs a year out. He now is working on military history that's very popular. And Barbara's husband, of course, is in insurance.
Yes. So you lived with your mother until she passed away?
Right.
Yes. You're the one who stayed with her?
Yes.
She must have been a very interesting woman herself.
She was.
Right.
She was.
Because she had 2 very intelligent children.
She was a very dear woman. She was.
She was.
Can you tell us a little about her?
Pardon?
You can tell us a little about what she did besides raising children.
Well, you know, you once asked, what did the women do
in
the way of club work years ago? Well, she was a very active member of the Jewish Ladies' Aid Society, or the Council of Jewish Women.
Mm-hmm.
She was always active in those societies.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of person was she, as you recall her?
She was a very sweet lady, very friendly, got on well with people.
She evidently got on well with you, because she lived with you a long time.
Oh yeah, we got on very well, and toward the end she became senile, and it was interesting. I find it now that I'm that way myself. I think of how she'd get up in the middle of the night and she'd go for the telephone. She was going to call her mother. She had something to tell her mother, and then she'd say, well, she'll send her mother to the baker shop. And she would describe what's that squirrel hill baker? She would describe
Waldorf.
She would describe the Waldorf as if it were in her little village.
Isn't that wonderful?
She used to tell stories about her little village.
Did she?
And her parents and her brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever record it?
No, only in my mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you remember those stories.
Oh, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You see, my mother had 2 sisters in this country, each of whom was married to 2 brothers, and they were cousins.
Oh boy.
And they were cousins. So there are 2 whole families of them, and all very nice and very interesting people.
Were they in Pittsburgh?
One of them was in Detroit, and finally they all lived in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And they still live there. Those that are left live in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Are you in touch with these?
Oh, all the time.
Good.
In fact, there are only a few. We always laugh at my cousin Gloria was here to visit me yesterday. And when Gloria visits you, she visits. Yes, and she has 1 son, Stanley, and he lost his wife this year. But he has a little daughter that lives down on Pawcusset, and she had a lovely wedding in June, and then her mother died a couple months later. And I call Susie, and Susie says, are you hungry? And I said, why not? So she brings me something. My sister said, you call Susie and let her bring you stuff. I said, why not? She's my cousin.
Sure.
Right. Right.
That's very nice.
Was your mother able to get any schooling here?
No, and she didn't want to.
Oh, she didn't?
And then 20 years later, she said to me, when you wanted to teach me English, I said I was too old and I shouldn't have learned.
Yes.
But she was very well read in Yiddish.
She was.
I used to go to the library and get her books by
parrots, probably.
What?
Parrots.
Singer's
name?
Singer. Yeah. Did they have the Jewish newspaper still?
Oh, yes, we had newspapers all the time.
Do they still have them?
Forwards.
Still? The Forwards and the Tageblatt.
Right.
And some kind of a weekly thing.
Yes.
But you know that, speaking of reading Yiddish, more recently, before Besheva Singer died, he had written his last book. And I just wanted to see how it tasted compared to reading it in English.
Uh-huh.
And so I read the two. And there's nothing like reading it in the original.
Yes. You could read the Yiddish?
Yes, I can read Yiddish.
Good. Good.
Until recently, I received the Yiddish paper. What is it? The Forwards.
The Forwards. That's the only one left, I think.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But your mother read it all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But was she the kind of person who discussed, what are you doing, daughter, are you medically? What kind of work? Would she just talk with you that way?
Oh, yes. She was interested in medical things.
She had to be very proud of you. You're one of the few
she
women
was.
Doctors. Yes.
She praised me ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Nice. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did your sister Della ever go into any special areas?
She went into laboratory work right after high school.
Uh-huh.
But then sometimes she veered off and got married.
And didn't pursue
no.
her education.